Matthew chapter 25. I say this all the time. I mean it every single time, but I feel like I have to say it. I really don't intend to be up here too long and to say too many things, because we got cake and punch in the back, and I want everybody to go. I recall graduating from high school. I had about three or four people in my class. I believe it was like three or four other people. And I also recall graduating from college, where I had some, four hundred people full of gymnasium. I've had the small graduation in high school and a huge graduation in college. Both were joyous times because I had had a thought in my mind and believed that I had learned everything that I would need. And from this point of learning, I'd need to learn no further. I could go and make a living, and I will be fine. 16 years later, because it's been 16 years, it's crazy. I talked to one of my buddies from college often, and he said randomly one time, it's like, yeah, we've known each other 20 years. It's like, man, I remember when I met you. 20 years? First of all, I don't even want to say I know you now, let alone for 20 years. I still mean it. No, I'm just kidding. I love that man. 16 years from college graduation, I've learned a few things. First, there is always something new to learn. There is always something new to learn. Your life is really to be a continuous learning journey. And with the wonders of technology as we have, YouTube University is fantastic. I've learned how to make cream puffs, which are good, and they are coming to a bake sale near you. Bring money. I've learned how to change the serpentine belt on a 2005 Nissan Sentra that ran afterwards, okay, with no intervention. There should be some glory to God's amen. That's fine. I don't need you guys. And even how to properly wash a car. I learned how to properly wash a car. Two buckets, right soap and the whole nine. It needs to be slick on the outside. I learned lots of stuff on YouTube, as I'm sure you guys do. And lastly, probably the most important, is I learned how to throw a frisbee. And throw pretty good. I like that. There's always something to learn. Now, the things that I can recall over this last 16 years that I've learned and really changed my life, there's always something new to learn. Don't be scared of the next challenge. Don't be scared of the next challenge. Everything on the internet is not true. Just because the information is available, it doesn't make it true. One of the worst and terrible things about the internet is that just about anybody can put something on there and result in swaying someone's thought process to something wrong. You know, one of the things that really been coming to the front of my mind is if you spend any time on social media, you watch a video or two, you see someone do something fantastic. I mean, they whip together cream puffs in 15 minutes and they look at you like, why can't you? It took me an hour, but they were fantastic, okay? You'll taste them soon, I promise. But you look at what you find on social media and you get stuck in the finished product. You see what they've worked hard and tireless and to be able to achieve, and you don't consider how much work, time, and practice they actually put into actually being able to do that thing. There's hard work and much practice that are needed. Things generally don't just happen. Even the greatest geniuses have to work at something to perfect their craft. Everything on the internet is not true. There is a lot of fantastic brands of top ramen. Now look, when I wrote you guys cards some 5 years ago, I remembered that ramen is a food group, especially when you're hungry and you're a struggling college student. And since that time, I have found even better ramen. There's this stuff, it's called Nissin Rao, Nissin Raoh. Look for it. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. It's in a green package. It'll change your life. It wasn't that good. I promise you, I wouldn't tell you. There's a lot of fantastic brands of top ramen. Dish duty and house chores don't stop when you move out. Those things stick around. They don't necessarily slide away as much as you would like them to. The work still needs to be done, but plastic plates and plastic forks are fantastic. I encourage you towards that way. My wife would concur and encourage as well. Don't be afraid to jump outside of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to jump outside of your comfort zone. You know, the Lord will put you in a position where you have to do things a little bit outside of what you normally want to do. And I encourage you not to look at the Lord and say no, but look at the Lord and say, how can I jump right into this thing? How can we get this thing working? You know, I stepped into youth pastoring. I guess it's been 7 years now, and I'm a little bit different than I was back then. And I've made all kinds of bad choices. I've made some of you guys upset, and I'm still sorry about that, just the same way as I was there. But don't be scared of stepping outside of your comfort zone. Now, with that said, please don't send me Facebook pictures tomorrow of you in a plane talking about I'm going to jump out. I am not saying by any means jump out of a perfectly good plane, but I am saying if you so decide, go make a coffee table, go get a cinnamon, or go make cinnamon rolls from scratch, go find furniture and clean it up and go flip it and go sell it. Do things that are a little bit outside of your comfort zone, and they can be a blessing to you. Common verses in the Bible are common for a reason. This one has probably been within the last couple of years. If you've been in one of my teen classes, you would have heard this one because it means a lot to me. I think that we've taken and saturated our culture, or maybe just our lives, maybe it's not a full culture thing, with the Word of God. And because of that, when we hear John 3:16, we say, oh, that's John 3:16, and we move past the deep spiritual truth that is rooted in there. For God so loved the world, his love for the world was so deep that he gave his only son. That should bring a holy hallelujah through each one of our hearts and our mouths every time we hear it, because it is good words. Common verses are common for a reason. Don't let common verses of Scripture, don't take them for granted. Every word in this Bible is from God and is profitable. Each word in here is from God and profitable. The last one, the last tidbit of life advice I have for you. A life spent serving the Lord is worth more than a life spent serving yourself. I personally have done and been more than I ever thought that I would have been and done because of serving the Lord. I had the opportunity to go to Ohio and preach once. Excuse me. That's fantastic. I got the opportunity year over year to go to camp as we went to camp before. Oh, man, I meant to tell the story. We're going to tell this. We were out on the field one day playing with the big ball, and I guess I was running the ball forward, and Gabby was coming up this way, and there's video. It's fantastic. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. That was fantastic. It was wonderful. A life spent serving the Lord is it's much better than a life spent serving yourself. The last thing I have for you guys, I said that was the last one, so I'm a good preacher now. I'm going to give you about 15 lasts, and then we'll take it to the house. That's not the case. I got 13. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. If you could walk out of here with one thing in your heart, young people, make the choice to obey the Lord. We'll take just a quick look over here at Matthew chapter 25, and we'll take a look at the parable of the talents, verse 14. God gave his servants some talents to go and multiply the talents. Here we go. Verse 14, I'll read down to 18, and then we'll pray just for sake of time, but we're pretty much going to use that whole section. Well, we'll dance around it a little bit. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us as we endeavor to look at this section of Scripture and really be challenged by taking our talents and using them for you. Father, we need you and we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you guys to notice something that I saw in the very beginning of this scripture that I thought was kind of interesting and really a lead into the whole thing. And I think it's kind of easy to miss it too. They were all given a task by the same Lord. Each one of them was given the same task by the same Lord. Now let's frame what that means. In verse 24, if you would rest your eyes upon there, and let us read. Then he, which had received the one talent, came and said, and this is the Lord returning, notice with me, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent into the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, here we go, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest. This framing of the Lord, that the man that had one talent, this framing that he had, was absolutely right. He said, you're a hard man, and I know you're going to take, and everything is yours, and I can't stop you. So I'm just going to have this thing. And the Lord said, you knew that. The Lord shows that there was something to be feared. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, I really like that verse because you don't have to flip over there. But it says, it refers to God as the great and terrible God. The great and terrible God that no one can stand against. Servant one and servant two took the five and the two talents, and they went out into the field, exchanges, and they worked up their money, and they turned it over twofold. They took the talents that the Lord would return for and risked them, put them at risk, understanding who the Lord was. And we know that it's clear because the Lord verifies that. Something is different between these three servants. Servant one and two are doing something completely different than what servant one is doing. Let's shed a little bit of light on that. Flip with me over to Galatians chapter 4. I really like the fourth verse. It's fantastic, so we're going to have to read it. It's an encouragement to your heart. Or it's encouragement to mine. I'll just be encouraged by myself. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4, and it reads, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. This is my father. This is my daddy. They did not know. They knew the Lord as a personal Lord. They didn't know the Lord just as the great and powerful God. They didn't know him just as the great and terrible God, the one that you really should be afraid of. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't be concerned with the one that can destroy your body. Be concerned with the one that can destroy your soul. Knowing that same God, they still took that risk because they knew the righteous and perfect holy God in a personal way, not just knew of him. They knew his great power. They knew the standard of perfection that he had, that he's not wavering on for anybody. But they also knew what they had in him. And they had a full salvation, full and free. A place with the Father and his family, adopted to be with him eternally. It all begins with salvation. Our lives begin at salvation. Our success begins at salvation, and which is really, if we are whittling down what success is doing what God has called you to do. Our obedience to the Lord begins at the cross of Calvary, where the perfect Son of God stretched out his arms and allowed himself to be staked to a wood cross for you and me. That all men might be free from the bondage of sin. That all men would be free from the punishment that we all deserve, which is hell. These two men took a risk because they knew the Lord. We see the risk taken and we see the risk avoided. We see the risk taken and we see the risk avoided. Flip back with me over to Matthew chapter 25. We find the two servants, they took a risk, and we find that the third servant did not. Matthew chapter 25, verse 18, and the Bible reads, "But he that had received one went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money." And we know why. We looked at verse 24 and 25. He was concerned. He said, if I lose it, what's going to happen? He's going to take everything. Everything is already his. Everything is already the Lord's. I want to submit to you guys as well that the first two servants didn't just do well because they went to the money exchangers, but they did well because the Lord worked in the money exchangers that their money and their return would be increased. Likewise, he will work in us. See, servant three was consumed with something. He was paralyzed with something. He was paralyzed with this spirit of fear. He didn't know the Lord personally. He just knew of him. And rightly so, he was consumed with fear. He is the holy and righteous God. We should have a fear of him. The Bible says the beginning of knowledge, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. But the fear that servant three experienced here is not a spirit given by the Lord, but it's the spirit of the flesh. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, in fear, the servant hid his talent, wasted it, and it was removed from him ultimately, and the servant was cast into hell because he didn't know the Lord. I say to you, make your calling and election sure. Know the Lord because he wants you to know him. The Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, and died. He was buried, and he rose again after the third day, proving that he's God, proving that we could put our full faith and trust in him, that you might be saved through him, with a desire for you to be reconciled to the Father. I always tell people, it is the freest gift offered to everybody exactly the same way. It is amazing that a person could say no to such a wonderful gift. There is no reason to miss heaven. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, I made reference to this earlier, but I'll read it. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body." Make your calling and election sure. Have you made the choice to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you put your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I know in a Wednesday night crowd, it's not really thought to be needful to encourage the people that would come on a Wednesday night to make their calling and election sure, as the Bible says. But that same gospel can save the person that has not been true, that has not been honest their whole life and has not truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, tell someone. First, we find that it was the same Lord. It was the same Lord that gave the command to the first two and the third one. We find the first two took that talent that was given to them and they risked it. We find the third one did not, and he completely avoided that. Now we see the results of obedience and the reward of disobedience. The results of obedience and the reward of disobedience. The talents were multiplied for servant one and two. They took the talents that they had and they exchanged it and worked it in order to use it for the Lord. What talents has the Lord given you? Now I'm moving from money into talents and abilities. Has he given you talent to cook? Has he given you the talent to organize or to lead? Has he given you a talent and an ability to understand complex ideas and to be able to share them simply with someone else? Has he given you the talent to reach people, to be able to talk to people, to be able to strike up conversations, to be an outgoing person, to be able to reach out to that person that feels invisible? I've been hearing that a lot lately, that feeling of invisibility. You walk around and you see people and they just feel like they're completely unseen, they're completely isolated, completely by themselves. It's a work of the devil trying to separate men. It's a work of the devil to try to separate us from telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Really ask the Lord to open your eyes to those people that are around you that you think feel seen but are not, and even to give those opportunities to be able to share the gospel with them. I would encourage you, I think it's about 3 times I've heard that over the last week. I really, really encourage you to take that very seriously. It might be a great opportunity for us to be able to help another one come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the talent of making money? And I think that is a talent. I think some people are just perfect and fantastic at being able to make money and be able to use that for the Lord Jesus Christ and give back to the church and give to the forward working of the Lord, the gospel. There are people that use all these things, and they're used for the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 20, we find the result. Matthew chapter 25, verse 20, we find the result. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 22 says, he also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And I want to call attention to the fact that some were given 5, some were given 2, one was given 1. And the reason I believe that there is such a stretch and disparity between how many talents they got is because it doesn't matter what talent God has given you. He has given it to you. You can look around and you say, well, that person sings better than me, so I can't serve the Lord. You're missing the point. That person is to sing, and they need to sing like a bird to the God in heaven that deserves all of our singing, just as you need to go cook up the full storm and make sure that no person that's a shut-in, no person that's sick, misses a meal. Just as you, the person that is able to drive long distances or be able to handle long vehicles, needs to prepare yourself in order to go and to drive a bus or to drive a van or do whatever it has to do that you can use that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be focused on the talents of others. Focus on what God has given you and use them for him. Stop looking at everybody else's stuff. I can't even barely deal with my stuff. I can't. How am I going to be taking care of your stuff too? Why did God multiply their talents? Was because their abilities were so much more? Was because they had a higher number of total talents? Are they more special than you? Is this person with more talents mo better than you? Mo better? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us also that there is none righteous, no, not one. So no, they're not any better than you. The difference is obedience. The difference is obedience. It is because God blessed their obedience. He took their willingness to serve him and do as he's called them to do and gave them the ability to serve him more and more, multiplying what they already had the ability to do through the Lord. You've been blessed by the Lord to have been rewarded these certificates and degrees, certifying that you have gained much knowledge, certifying your study and your hard work. Will you use it for the Lord? Will you use it for the Lord? I challenge you even this evening to set your mind, set your heart, and set your eyes to serve the Lord first. That choice will change the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and it says, and he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I really like this. Pastor James shared this with me a few weeks ago. I think it actually might have been a month ago. It's not just that he's first place, but that he's the only place Not putting our eyes on all the things that are under him and all the things around, but putting our eyes on him and him ordering the rest of our life in such a way that his name be glorified. Set in your heart and your mind and set your eyes that you will not allow anything to take you from putting God where he deserves to be. Build your family with God first. Raise your children with God, with the preeminence and the only. Reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with Christ first. Serve in your local New Testament church in the mind of Christ first. We see the talents multiply. We also see the talent removed. Now, I don't endeavor to get super deep into this, but I personally believe that this third servant was not saved. I don't believe that he had a relationship with the Lord, and I think that he was cast into outer darkness as a result of that. I think that his removing, his talent being removed from him is a result of him refusing the Lord Jesus Christ, his disobedience. Rebellion will send a man to hell. Rebelling against the drawing of the Spirit, rebelling against the Lord Jesus Christ, refusing to accept him is what I mean. The servant here is called wicked. The servant here is called wicked. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Now, that kind of stuck out to me because that is a strong word to say about a Christian. Matter of fact, it's an erroneous word. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross is a permanent work. It is an eternal work. It cannot be reversed. And the second that we accept him, it is a full payment for all of our sin. Can't be wicked if you're his. The Bible says in Timothy that he can't deny himself. I believe it's Timothy. I didn't look it up. I meant to. I apologize. But look it up. The servant was called unprofitable as well. The servant was called unprofitable as well. Further down, or a little bit further down, the servant is called unprofitable. And it thrust me into the mind of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. I talked with a few pastors to make sure that I wasn't going too far off as I was exegesing this section of scripture. And one of them said to me, the person could have lived their whole life serving the Lord, doing all the good boy stuff. I come to church, I stand up in the choir, and I sing. That's got to be good enough for salvation, right? Drop a few dollars in the plate, that's got to be enough to cover it, right? Never accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags." All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. The best that person serving the Lord the way that he thinks best in his mind and his flesh and his desire can do is produce filthy, putrid, disgusting rags. He's wasted his time. He's been an unprofitable servant. Lastly, he was cast in the outer darkness. We find that written three different times in Matthew and ultimately all pointing towards judgment. We see that they were told what to do by the same Lord, given the same command. We see that some were obedient, and we saw that the one was not. As a matter of fact, that spirit of fear locked him up, and he chose not to use what the Lord had given him to serve him. The choice before you and I is this. Will you use what God has given you for his work, or will you use it for yourself? Will you obey? Will you obey? Christian, will you put the Lord on the throne of your heart? Will you allow the Lord to lead you in what you should do? Servant one and two, their talents were multiplied. The Bible indicates that they received a twofold return for their obedience. And even more than that, for the servant with the 10, he was given even more than that as well. He was given the one from the servant that was not saved. He received the talent from the disobedient servant. Even more, they were commanded by the same austere, hard man. Verse 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 23 tells you what happened to the man that gave two talents, or had two talents, and it was multiplied to four. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, I hugged my dad just the other day on Father's Day. We went over there and we cooked some food and had a good time. And as he hugged me, he told me, I love you. And then he said, I'm proud of y'all. Now, what he really meant was to say that I'm proud of you and only you because you're the most wonderful son and there's no other that matters. And of course, he's, you know, slightly ticking up there in age, so I'm here to help and correct his speech. It is a great encouragement to your heart to hear from your father that you've done what's right. There's no feeling in your life better than knowing you did exactly what the Lord has told you to do. There's a great day coming when us who have Christ as our Savior will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Mind you this, this is the God of the universe, the sustainer of all things, the only reason that you exist and will exist, the redeemer of your soul, telling you that he is proud of you, knowing you. This is still not because of you. It's because of the Christ that lives in you, working in you, willing to do his good pleasure. God will reward obedience. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a blessing and purpose and fulfillment in serving the Lord. There's no better feeling in the world, as I said to you before. I think back to Joshua, told to do this crazy thing, walk his army around the big city silently, multiple times, then come back and make a loud sound. And you know there's a song about that. And the reason that there's a song about that is because Joshua was obedient. And there was a great victory won that day at Jericho. Gideon, he whittled his army down to 300 men. Absolutely insane. Doesn't make any sense. Had pitchers and candles. And he watched the salvation of the Lord as the Lord turned the army on themselves and wiped the whole thing out. Lest we forget our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In obedience to the Father, to himself, in love for you, as a lamb to the slaughter, went to the cross of Calvary, which he didn't deserve for you and me, giving us the greatest showing of obedience in our life. Likewise, so should we give our lives to him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They were all given instructions by the same God. We see the strong words from the third servant, and we see them validated by the Lord, saying, that's exactly who I was, you knew it, and you still did this. We saw that the first two servants took a risk, and it has to be bore out of their relationship with the Lord. But we see the last one did not. It all begins with salvation. The Lord has called us unto himself through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. Next, we saw the results of obedience. The two servants that had taken their talents and put them to the exchange were given twofold and even more for the one that had more talents. Likewise, there's a reward for us who well steward our talents and use what God has given us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the choice. Will you make the choice this day and even daily to obey and submit yourself to the Lord, taking what he has blessed you with and using it for his glory, as we recall Joshua, who we sing about, Gideon, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has helped you through the stage of your formal education, and he continue to be with you through the next steps. Will you glorify his name and making the choice to use what he's given you for him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.